Hi there, I'm Lucien Wyszyk. I'm giving some tips on how to create async libraries that use async and what to expose and how to work internally. The third and final tip I want to give is about configure-await of false, task.configure-await of false. To explain why this is worth considering, I need to delve into some technical details of the .NET framework. There was something introduced in .NET 4.0, I think. It was called synchronization context. No one really had much cause to use it, but it was in there, and it's become more important with await. Synchronization context represents a target for work. So there are a bunch of them in the .NET framework, like Windows Form synchronization context. It has a .post method, and if you invoke its .post method, it will do control.beginInvoked, and that's the way in WinForms to get back onto the UI thread. So it represents a way to get back where you were before. In WPF or in Windows 8, it's got a dispatcher synchronization context where its post method goes back onto the UI thread in its own particular way. ASP.NET has its own synchronization context. It has a post method. It ensures that when you post on it, only one thing happens at a time. It might thread hop, but it will never execute on more than one thread. So there are a whole bunch of these in the framework, and they were all pretty esoteric before, but with await, they've become pretty central. Whenever you do await task, it uses the synchronization context. How does it do that? First, when you do await task, it captures the current synchronization context before awaiting. Then, once the task that you're awaiting has completed, it calls synchronization context.post to resume the work after the await, wherever you happen to be before. So if you were on the UI thread before, using the UI synchronization context, and you did an await, then your code after the await will be posted back to run on the UI thread as well. Or in ASP.NET, if you had some code before an await, then after the await, it will resume back in the same ASP.NET context where all the localization and user authentication has been set up correctly. For app-level code, when I'm writing an app, especially with UI, this is fine, and this is very usually what I want. But when I'm writing library code, I rarely need to resume where I was before. In fact, that's kind of just unnecessary. And what you can do in this case is rather than just awaiting a task or awaiting foo async, I can do await task.configure-await of false or await foo async.configure-await of false. What this does is it suppresses step two. So it no longer calls synchronization context.post to resume where it was before. Instead, if possible, it resumes just on the thread that completed the task. The result of this is marginally better performance. When I say marginally, the extra overhead of going back to the UI thread will be a problem if you're doing it needlessly a million times inside your library per second. But if you're only doing, say, 10, 50, 100 awaits, then the cost of going back to the user thread is pretty insignificant. If you're using the thread pool, the cost of scheduling back on the thread pool is really quite tiny. So it is a slightly better performance thing, but it's not significant unless you're worried about the thread pool. Also, there are particular cases where you can avoid deadlock if the user wrote particularly bad code. If the user did task.wait, then it can avoid deadlock in certain cases. So, the lesson from this is that you should consider using configure-await of false in your libraries. The way to think about this is really think that the UI message queue is an application global resource, and if your library is using, let's suppose your library has an inner loop that calls and awaits something 1,000 times, and it doesn't ever touch the UI, but it's still just using await task, then each one of those 1,000 is going back to the UI message queue, might probably going back into native code. And all of that will hurt UI responsiveness a little bit. So if you've got a library that will be called from the UI thread, and you've got a chatty async API, which is running really quickly, and your library doesn't touch the UI itself, that's when you should really consider using configure await if false, because it will be important for perf. You can consider using it in any library, in fact, and the .NET framework uses configure await if false everywhere, just because we were interested in eking out every last bit of performance. And that's the last of my async library writing tips. I hope you've enjoyed the series. Thank you very much.